Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
We welcome you to our worship this morning. It's great. I am grateful to see anyone out here today. When I heard the list of people calling me that were either under the weather or traveling, we claim that promise where two or three are gathered. He is in the midst. So grateful it's a lot more than that. So thank you for being here. We do have a lot of prayer requests that we'll get to in a bit. But if you'll look on the back of several announcements that we have, I want to really thank, and I'll mention her as a prayer request. She isn't here today, but Karen and Carrie did something this past week that I would have rather taken a beating from all of you than do. And that is, they went through all the totes that we've been collecting of stuff and not only sorted it, but counted it. And I think it must have taken several hours of tedious work. And I appreciate Carrie, you and Carolyn doing that. Out of that, we realized that to meet our goal of 300, we've got some deficits. And if you'll see the second announcement down, the areas of deficit are boys and girls' underwear, any sizes, hair brushes, combs, socks and shirts, blow-up footballs and basketballs and notepads. So here's the deal. To make our goal, and I want us to make that goal, because these Christmas boxes of Samaritan's Purse are just powerful and important. You can either help by purchasing these things, or if you're like me, you can take the lazy way out. And that is, again, thanks to Carrie and Carolyn, they agreed that they would go shopping and get the balance of the materials and items. And so to make it simple, so we don't have to run it through the church books and so that they can get it quickly, there is a Samaritan's box out as you leave the sanctuary. Immediately upon leaving, there's that buffet table to your right. There's a Samaritan shoebox there now. And just put cash in it as you are led. And I appreciate your generosity in supporting this ministry. And I'm also appreciative of Carrie and Carolyn for doing that. And then the other decision they made, which, you know, I guess men have a way of lining up things because we know we don't have to do the work. I thought it was a great idea on the day that we packed the boxes to have all the ladies bring casserole dishes and finger food and we could eat. I didn't see a problem with that situation, but they thought, since you're coming to church, since everyone's going to be focusing on the boxes, the church is just going to buy pizza for everyone. So we will have a pizza party that November the 5th. The church will get the pizza and stuff, and we'll pack boxes, and it'll be a great time. So hopefully you can come for that. Also, the final thing, and I'll be quiet, is in a couple, 3 weeks, November 5th, that same day, we will have our All Saints Day. So if you have someone that you would like to be remembered who passed this past year with the lighting of a candle and mention of their name, please let me know their full name and the date that they entered into glory, and I will make sure it's in there. Any other announcements?
Yes, sir. Just a quick time on Samaritan's Purse. Couple things. Carol sent out an email to everybody per my request with a link on it. If you click on the link, there's time slots. If anyone wants to volunteer, it's really easy. As people show up, you just help them take the shoeboxes out of the vehicle. So if anyone wants to volunteer for that, you just click that link, fill in what time slot you want. The other volunteer part is you don't even have to show up and move boxes. There's volunteer spots where you just show up and bring cookies for the people that are volunteering. And then the last thing, and I think you have it down here, November 20th at 6 o'clock, the shoeboxes can be dropped off between the 13th and 20th, but the 20th, the last day at 6 o'clock, and it's really powerful, man. You know, we pray over the shoeboxes. We'll pray over them again November 5th. When you drop them off, they get prayed upon, and they get prayed upon on the 20th. And the neat thing is they have three box trucks, is what they had last year, and they filled three trucks with shoeboxes. And on the 20th, they have a small little service. It's not long, and then they pray one final time over the shoeboxes before the trucks take them down to Charlotte. And it's really powerful. They basically stand around the trucks. Everyone puts their hands on the trucks, and they pray. So if anyone wants to do that, you can show up. Calvary Baptist is on Timberlake Road at that 6 o'clock service. It's pretty powerful. And finally, thank you to everybody for everything that you've done to try and make 300 boxes possible.
Thank you for your leadership in stirring us toward that. And it, to go from doing 35 to 50 boxes last year, in the last couple of years, to 300, that's really a wonderful thing. And to hear the testimony of these kids, and these truly are needy kids. These aren't kids that just want to upgrade on their Xbox or whatever. These are kids that have never received anything. And it's a powerful testimony. And how many were there last year at Christmas where we put our hands on the 18-wheelers? That was really cool, and invite you for that too. Any other announcements? All right, let's move to prayer requests. I've got quite a few. Let me give them, and then we'll open it up. Ruth Harvey's procedure, her oblation, did not happen Friday. And they came in, the team did yesterday, and they're just so backed up at Duke. They're about a week and a half behind. So they say maybe on Monday. So we'll see how that goes. We need to also continue to keep Glenn in prayers. He's receiving treatments. Got interrupted this past week. Hopefully it won't this week. But they're down at Duke. If at all possible, and if I have enough time to notice when we find out when the surgery is, I'll be there representing y'all to have prayer with them. So keep Glenn and Ruth in our prayers. Down at the end of the week, my mother has COVID, so keep Carol Bryant in our prayers. She's feeling fine, so you don't worry. I haven't seen her for a long time, so I'm good. So everything's good. Carolyn Ashwell texted me this morning, and she has a swollen gland, and her face is swollen quite a bit. She's in some pain, so we want to keep Carolyn in our prayers. Also, Bob Carson had a mini stroke or something this week, and the bottom line out of it is he's in rehab now, but he will be moving to Richmond to live with his daughter when he gets out of rehab. We also want to keep Laura Drinkard in our prayers, as she's still in the hospital. Got a text from Karen and Mark Himmelheim. They have a good friend they've known for a long time, Glenda Locek. She was diagnosed with cancer in September, and she was just this week we put on hospice and palliative care. So keep the Locek family in our prayers. What prayer requests or praises? That would be good too. But what prayer requests or praises any of you might have? Andy.
Yeah, I just want to thank you all for praying for me for last week. Ministry continues in Moldova. They're still suffering. There's still a war on next door, but they are so grateful to be partners in Christ. The men offered a collection, and I presented it to one of the women that does ministry to children, and tears rolled down her face. So she thanked the well for their faithful contribution for people that don't have these shoeboxes. I actually got to see some of the places the shoeboxes are going. So yes. It is a wonderful ministry that you guys are doing. So thank you, Webb. Thank you, the Well Church. And just praise God for our sisters and brothers who are suffering.
And thank you for going. Do you have another trip on the books? But not anything on the books. So thank you for going, and we're glad you're home safely. Yes, Judy.
I think we should offer prayers and Godspeed for Kathy and Werner as they get ready to go to Belgium. For his 80th birthday.
When do you leave?
Tuesday.
Oh, so Kathy and Warren are leaving Tuesday to go to Belgium. They'll have an 80th birthday celebration. And I think when he gets back, he'll have to throw yourself a party again and make those Belgian waffles you did one. We'll help. He did a Belgian lunch one. And I don't even like waffles, but they were impressive. So we'll keep you in prayer and hope you have a great time as you travel. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Agnes.
Dot Flanick.
Okay. Let's keep Dot Flanick in our prayers. Yes.
Dan's friend since childhood, whose name is Earl, was previously diagnosed with colon cancer and has had surgery for that, but he's gotten progressively worse over the last couple of months. They thought he might have pancreatic cancer, so they did a scan this past week, We prayed, and God was very gracious and blessed, and it has not spread to his pancreas. However, the cancer has come back to his colon, and they've given him 3 months to live and put him on hospice care.
Let's keep, thanks, Lisa. Let's keep her husband Dan's good friend Earl in our prayers as he's in hospice care. Anyone else? Yes, Tony.
My sister Terry, she had her knee replacement but developed a DVT, so they've got her on the appropriate medicine for that, but just continuing prayers for her healing because it's going a little bit slow.
Okay, let's keep Terry in our prayers, Tony's sister. Thank you. Martha.
The family of Robert Hackworth.
Okay. The family of Robert Hackworth. Okay. Let's keep that family in prayer. Any other items of prayer, praise? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. As we walk through this earthly sojourn, we find much to rejoice over. There are many things that we are grateful for, many joys we have, much to celebrate and overwhelmed with the blessings we have. And we begin by giving you thanks just for bringing us awake again today and for blessing us in many ways already more than so many around the world. We are richly blessed, and we will always, not only is it proper etiquette, it's good theology for us to always begin with thanking you for the many ways in which we're blessed. As that old country song, we all can say, why me, Lord? What have we ever done to deserve even one of the blessings that we have? So we begin by giving you thanks. And we also thank you that you are the Lord that not only is with us during the good times, but you are the one who's promised to be with us during the valley. For life is also full of those. And we thank you that we have a place to turn, and that we don't turn alone. We turn together. We uphold one another. And we're grateful for that. We have a long list of people that we commit to your care. You know the details, you know every situation, and we ask that you would work in each. We pray that you'd be with the many from our congregation who are traveling for vacation and to see family. Just give traveling mercies to so many that are on the road. We pray that you'd be with these that are in different points of needing physical healing. For Glenn and for Ruth, for Carol and for Carolyn, for Bob and for Laura, for Dot, for Terry. We also pray for those that seem at the end of this life's journey that you would give them comfort to them and their family, for Glenda and for Earl. We pray that you would be with the Hackworth family as they have said goodbye to Robert. May they be comforted by their memories and your grace. We thank you that you brought Andy home safely from Moldova. And we pray that you would be with Kathy and Werner as they travel to Belgium, that they'll have safety, and it'll be a wonderful time to celebrate this milestone in Werner's life with friends and family in Belgium. We just thank you for the connection that we have to each other. It is our strength. And we thank you for placing us in the family and friends that we have. We thank you for this church and for the strength and joy it is to us and to others. May we always be mindful of the needs and wants of others. We thank you for the opportunity that we have out of our blessedness to give to others, and may we always do so, for we are richly blessed. And we end where we began, by giving you thanks for all things. And we pray in your holy name. Amen. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God, and while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put anew the right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
You look with me to the insert. We'll use Psalm 96. By a whole verse, call each to worship, then we'll stand in worship through singing hymn 33. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the whole earth.
Sing to the Lord all the whole earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations and his wonders among all peoples.
For great is the Lord and great to be praised. He is more to be feared than all gods.
As for all the gods of the nations, they are but idols. But it is the Lord who made the heavens.
O the majesty and magnificence of his presence. O the power and splendor of his sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord honor and power.
Ascribe to the Lord the honor due his name. Bring offerings and come into his courts.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the whole earth tremble before him.
Tell it out among the nations. The Lord is King. He has made the world so firm that it cannot be moved. He will judge peoples with equity.
Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea thunder and all that is in it. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein.
Then shall all the trees of the wood shout for joy before the Lord when he comes to judge the earth.
He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth.
Thank you.
First reading comes from Isaiah 45, 1 through 7. Thus says the Lord, who is anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, and that there is none besides me. And I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord, who does all these things. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Since you yourself are the author of our devotion, graciously consider the devout prayers of your church. May those things which we ask in faith effectively follow by your grace, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who has made us your children. And as your children, we are grateful and bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading comes from 1 Thessalonians 1:1-10. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of Thessalonians of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Gospel reading is Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be unto you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many of you hate paying taxes? You're not alone. It's not an American phenomenon. It's broader than America. It's all the cultures. It's all the time. And it was especially hated by the Jews, who were quite oppressed by the Romans. And there were multiple taxes, as we face multiple taxes. And I guess it's nothing new for the government to find more creative and useful ways, or at least useful for them, to put their claws into our resources. And the Jews especially hated the taxes being referred to here. This was what was called the head tax. And they hated it because what Rome was claiming by this tax is that the Jews were not their own. They were owned by Rome, i.e. they were owned by Tiberius Caesar. And it was his image that was on this tax. So the Pharisees, they knew that they were really sort of opening up a can of worms. They were talking about something that was real hornet's nest because they hated paying it. So they thought they would have Jesus caught between two points. He didn't want to offend and continue to look like a rabble-rouser to the Romans, but he also knew that if he approved of this tax, he would have the Jews hating him even more. And his response is typical Jesus. It's just real cool. And he just knows how to turn it on them. And he responds at multiple levels. And I guess at first level is he basically said, whose image is on this? And of course it had Tiberius Caesar's image on it, and the statement that he was the son of the Logos and Divine One, and claimed that he was God, and it had his image. And Jesus basically said, just give it back to him. Almost in the spirit of George Strait's "Just Give It Away," it's like, it's not worth anything anyway, because whose image is on it? So it's a real flip, but just give it back to him. And I would suggest that since we're not going to be able to avoid taxes, we'd probably be a lot more joyous if that was our attitude. Yeah, it just give it back to them. That's not who we are anyway. But then he quickly said, but give to God what's God's. What has God's image? And so, I guess I have a question to ask for you. What can we give to God? What can we give to God? As I read the scripture, and for time I won't read all the passages I could, but as I read the scripture, God owns all things. He created it. It's by his hands that we exist. We are his. We were created by him. We're redeemed by him. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and you know, besides the cattle, he owns it. 1,000 hills that the cattle are on. And he has everything. So what do you give to someone who has everything? Now, we're beginning the Christmas season. It's technically, but I've given this up a long time ago. It's not Christmas until the 24th of December, but I hear there's some heretics already watching Hallmark movies and all sorts of things. So, you know, we're entering this gift-giving thing, and to be honest, all joking aside, I really like it too. And I hope we know that all of our gift-giving is a faint shadow of the gracious gift that God gave to us. The bottom line is God has everything, and He's given us everything. So what can we give to Him? So I'm going to tell you what we can give to Him, and you know the answer. Hebrews 13 tells us the answer. The only sacrifice that we can make unto the Lord, the only thing that we can give Him is our praise. That's all we can do, is give Him our praise. So trying to recognize the time and briefly edit some of this, let me just tell you some gift-giving guidelines. And I think it'll help not only in this coming season, but I'm confident that if we adopt these, it'll help our relationship with the Almighty God and what we can give Him. But I want to look not so much at what we can give Him. I want to teach us how to be a good recipient. How do we receive gifts? We're pretty good at giving gifts, and some of us are quite poor at receiving gifts. It's embarrassing at points. And I think part of the relationship that we have with the Almighty and why we spend so much time on our knees, if not literally in our heart, is that we have to admit that in the relationship between God and we don't offer Him a thing. Nothing in our hand we bring. You may not like receiving charity, but when it comes to the Lord, get over it, because that's the only way it can be. He has it all. And we come and we confess. So, here's some ways you can insult a giver. If someone wants to give you, we know that we owe God our praise. Let's look at how we can insult someone who gives us a gift. In particular, how we can insult the Father when He's given us all things. The first way we can insult a giver is we can refuse the gift. We can refuse the gift. And we read throughout Scripture that unfortunately, in many parables that Jesus told, it was all about a gracious offer being made to come to a wedding feast, or a gracious offer being made to come to the table, or a gracious offer being made, and it's refused. Almost with anger. And we see this often. We'll offer gracious and good news, and it's simply refused. That's the first way you can insult a giver. The second way, and probably even more horrific, and I think church people usually don't do the first one. Church people don't do the refusal of the gift. Church people do the second one, which I think is even more or as much of a heinous response to a gift. The second way you can insult a giver is to offer to pay for the gift. Do you know people that like that they find it so difficult to receive, they immediately offer to pay for it, and all you want them to do is say, thank you. And when we offer to repay God, there's a level of arrogance there, that to think that we can repay the Almighty God for giving us His Son and providing all things. He's very clear in Psalm 50, if He had any need, you're not the one He'd be looking to anyway. So for us to offer to repay God, it seeks to turn that gift into a wage. And then we can rest on the thought that we didn't receive charity. We sort of worked out a deal with the Almighty. We know He gave us His Son, but look at all that I've done for Him. You've even heard sermons and you've seen bumper stickers that say that God gives you salvation and that's His gift to you. and how you live your life is your gift to him. That's not anything he really wants. You know, at the end of the day, he has said that all he wants is that which has his image. He wants us. The third way we can insult a giver is we can neglect the gift. We can receive it, we can take it, but then we neglect it. And I think all too often in the busyness of the day, in the busyness of life, our values shift. I spend a lot of times in used bookstores. And if you've ever done that in antique stores or used bookstores, it always would break my heart to come across a book that was inscribed to someone. You know, something like, "To my dear son on your graduation. You mean the world to your dad and I. We're so proud of you and your graduation." And it goes on and on expressing their love. And I'm thinking, why in the world is it at a used bookstore? Who would give that up? And I think that when we think of the gifts that God has given us, and we're talking Christ, but we're also talking of all the gifts of the Lord. When we look at the heavens that declare the beauty of the Lord, when we look at natural, like for instance, did any of you happen to see how beautiful it was yesterday? Why would we neglect that? Why would we act indifferent to that? It insults the giver when we're not overwhelmed with gratitude with that. Fourth way we can insult a giver is we fail to value the gift. We receive it, we don't neglect it, we don't offer to pay for it, but we really don't understand how valuable it is. You may have done that before. You may have given someone something and it wasn't that valuable to them. They just didn't recognize the value of the gift. I remember years ago, I had a friend, and it was actually my aunt. She was quite into antiques. And there was a particular crystal goblet or bowl that she had had in her family. And it, I forget the brand of it, but it was quite wonderful and quite beautiful. And she actually gave it to me. Well, I didn't see any harm in using it to hold iced tea in the refrigerator. But when she opened the refrigerator door, visiting my home, and saw that I had failed to recognize the value of that heirloom and had put iced tea in it with the possibility that it could be chipped, she didn't give me any other crystal. More importantly, do you understand? And let me just say up front, the answer is no. Do you understand the extent of the value of the gift of Jesus Christ? We stand amazed. We try to grasp at it. But the truth of the matter is, it will take all eternity for us to understand the value of the gift of having Christ Jesus in our lives and us in him. One of my favorite stories, and some of you may have heard it, and I'd rather edit out some of the stuff I didn't say because I wanted to read this story. And I think I read it to a Bible class not too long ago, but it's every time I read it, I'm touched again. It comes from the beginning of the last century, beginning of the 20th century in England. And let me read this story to you. Please pay attention, for it's an important story. At the beginning of the last century, a very wealthy man shared a passion for art, collecting with his devoted young son. Together they traveled around the world, adding only the finest art treasures to their collection. Priceless works of art by Picasso, Van Gogh, Monet, and many others adorned the walls of the family estate. The widowed father looked on with paternal joy as his only son became an experienced art collector. The son's trained eye and sharp business mind gave his father great pride as they dealt with art collectors around the world. Then in 1914, as winter approached, war engulfed the nation and the young man was called up to serve his country. After only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram that he had been dreading. His beloved son had been killed in action. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming Christmas holidays with anguish and sadness. The joy of the Christmas season that he and his son had so looked forward to was gone. On Christmas morning, as he was sitting there alone, there was a knock at the door. As the old man opened the door, he was greeted by a young soldier with a large package in his hand on leave from the Western Front. He introduced himself to the man by saying, "I was a friend of your son's. I was the one he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I have something to show you." And as the two began to talk, the soldier told the old man how his son had told him of his father's love of art. "I'm an artist too," said the soldier, "and I wanted to give you this." As the old man unwrapped the package, he saw that in the package was a portrait of his son. Though the world would never consider it the work of a genius, the painting featured the young man's face in detail. Overcome with emotion, the father hung the portrait of his son over the fireplace, moving aside millions of pounds worth of art to make space for it. The old man then sat in his chair and spent Christmas Day gazing at the gift he had been given. The painting of his son became his most prized possession, far eclipsing any of the pieces of art for which museums around the world clamored. 10 years later, the old man died, and the art world waited with anticipation for the upcoming auction. According to the father's will, all the artworks would be auctioned on Christmas Day, the day he had received the greatest gift, the portrait of his son. The day soon arrived, and art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. The auction began with a painting that was not on any of the museum's list. The auction began with the painting of the father's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid, but the room was silent. "Who will open the bidding with 100 pounds?" No one spoke. Finally, someone said, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's move on to the good stuff." The auctioneer responded, "No, we have to sell this one first. It's in the will. Now, who will bid for the son?" Finally, a neighbor of the old man offered 50 pounds. "That's all I have," he said. "I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it." The auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, sold." The gavel fell. Cheers filled the room, and someone exclaimed, "Now we can bid for the real treasures." The auctioneer looked at the room filled with the people and announced that the auction was over. Everyone was stunned. Someone spoke up and said, "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a painting of the old man's son. There's millions of pounds worth of art still in here. What's going on?" The auctioneer replied, "It's very simple. According to the old man's will, whoever received the painting of the son would get all the rest." Brothers and sisters, when we receive Jesus Christ, we get all the rest. We must not fail to value the gift. And then the final way we can insult the giver. And that's not to allow them to see your joy. See, when we give gifts, you want to see the joy of the receiver, don't you? That's why you give, if you're giving with good motives. You want to see them be ecstatic. You want them to see them to be overwhelmed, to relish in the joy. Another story that I'll be much briefer on, that I think says this so well. It's an Andy Griffith episode. And it's called Opie's Ill-Fated Game. And you may remember it. Opie, who struggled like most of us intelligent people, good people do with math, was failing his math. And lo and behold, he got report card, and he, because of his extra effort, had made an A in math. And you may remember Andy was so excited he went and bought Opie the biggest, most shiny bike he could find to give it to him for earning that A. Well, before Opie got the gift, Miss Crump let Opie know she had made a mistake. Instead of making an A, he had failed. He came home to the reception of his dad, so ecstatic. But when Opie saw the bike, he was downcast. He didn't feel joy, he felt guilt, because he knew he didn't deserve it. He knew he failed his father. He knew that he didn't deserve any type of gift, and that to try to maintain that, he would have to live a lie, which he did for a couple days. He didn't smile, he didn't rejoice, he never even rode the bike. He was racked with guilt. He was racked with remorse of not measuring up, and coupled with that now, he was living a lie, having to fake out his dad and everyone else. It got so bad, you may remember, that he just thought he'd check out, and he left. When Andy realized that, he went looking for Opie, and he saw Opie walking. And he got out of his car, and what Andy said to Opie, I think is one of the clearest expressions of the gospel. He said, son, he said a lot more, but bottom line, he said, son, you're my son, and that's enough. I'm always proud of you. And the joy returned. Brothers and sisters, what we can give to the Lord is the joy of knowing that he looks at you and he looks at me, and in the midst of us knowing we're not worthy, in the midst of us trying to fool others and ourselves, in the midst of us thinking we don't measure up, he looks at us and says, you're my child. That's enough. I'll always be proud of you. And then we simply say, thank you for all eternity. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We praise and thank you, God of Abraham and Moses, because you have made your creation out of nothing. You have come among us in liberation and covenant. And in your Son's dying and rising, you've opened up your life to share your holiness with us. In your tender mercy, you have broken upon us the dawn from on high and shown us your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. You cover us with your loving hand that we may dare to stand in your presence. And you tell us your name that we may see into your heart. And so we come before you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven to sing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might,
Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Merciful God, you have given us the law as a covenant between your ways and ours. And in Jesus Christ, you have renewed that covenant by giving us the fulfillment of the law. In this meal, you show us how much you love us and how much you long for us to be your companions, and how constant is your presence among us. Send down your Holy Spirit now upon us, that we may be the very body of Christ that you've given us to eat. And give unto each of us the wisdom of your Spirit to recognize in these gifts of bread and wine the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again. God of inescapable love, you called upon us to give to you the things that are yours. As we realize with joy that all things are yours, turn every action of our lives into ways of worshiping you. Unite us with the communion of your saints, past, present, and eternal, turning all into hallelujah. Turning justice into kindness and trust, turning fear into hope, hunger into fulfillment, isolation into companionship, and suffering into love. Until the day comes when we and all your people see you face to face, ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We come to remember. And Christ comes to this same table as he has promised to remember. And in remembering the covenant that was sealed for as any last will and testament, the heirs do not receive the gifts until the death of the one who granted it. But we come not receiving the benefits of a dead Savior, but we come receiving the benefits of a Savior who died and rose again, and now we receive not only all the benefits, but more importantly, we have Him. And it's in Him that we have the hope of glory, and we rest in Him. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come and receive His gift to you. A gift given without strings, a gift not offered by this church, but offered by Christ. Therefore, all are invited. As you come forth, we practice by intinction. I'll hand you the host, you dip it into the chalice, then come forth and pray. There are cards behind me. If you lift up someone in prayer and you'd like to send them a card and let them know they were prayed for, there'll be people standing at either side for prayer if you'd like to have someone join with you in prayer. This is our Passover, given to us to freely come and receive. Let us keep the feast.
Thank you.
This is the body of Christ given to you.
Freely given, freely received, we thank you for your love, a love that manifested itself in tasting of death, that through you we taste of life, and not only life, but life abundantly, living, true life, eternal life, and we give you thanks. In your holy name. Amen. Let us close our worship, singing our final hymn together as we stand. for the shopping for the Christmas will be right out on the right, and appreciate your gifts for that, and appreciate Carrie and Carolyn Shop. Let's hear the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his face upon you and shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thank you.
Probably what? Exactly.